The reading today is taken from the book of Revelation, chapter 7, starting at verse 9. It's at page 1122 at the very, very end of the Bible, for it's the last book of the Bible. One of the descriptions of the scripture reading today from the book of Revelation states that Revelation is the unveiling of unseen spiritual forces operating behind the scenes in history. The disclosure is conveyed in a series of symbolic visions, but it's also a diagnosis of the present state of affairs regardless of the era and the time in which we live in. The author, at the very beginning of the book, is identified as Jesus himself, and he's imparting the information to a man by the name of John, who is communicating to all of us, including the church today. So we start at chapter 7 at verse 9. After this, I, John, looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation and from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne, around the elders, and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship Him day and night within His temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. And the sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. And He will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." May we be blessed by this reading.
Memory is a tricky thing, particularly as we get older. You may know the story about the three women who were talking to each other, and the first one said, "Sometimes I go to the refrigerator and I forget what I need by the time I get there." And the second woman said, "When I go upstairs, I can't remember whether I'm going up for something or I'm on my way back down." Well, the third woman said, "I'm lucky, I guess. I don't have that problem." Oh, there's someone at the door. Memory's a tricky thing. There are some things, however, that we should never forget. And one of these is the sacrifices that others have made on our behalf. It was a spring morning in 1866, just after the Civil War had devastated the South. A group of Southerners did something quite extraordinary. They marched down the street of what was left of their town to a cemetery, and there they decorated the graves of the soldiers, all the soldiers, Union as well as Confederate. The mothers and daughters and widows had buried their dead, and now they buried their hatred. The time for healing had come. It was the first Memorial Day. Have you ever wondered why Memorial Day is marked in May? I checked, and its date doesn't recall some historic battle or the start of some war or the signing of some armistice. But why then May? And I guess it's for a really practical reason, because that's the time when flowers bloom, flowers with which to decorate graves. Now, I imagine there are some of you who remember when Memorial Day was called Decoration Day, and when the cemeteries, especially in the small towns where I began my ministry, the cemeteries were literally filled with people kneeling to plant a flower or place a garland or unfurl a flag or say a prayer. Some people still do, but most people can no longer be bothered. It would take a time away from the beach or the backyard or the ballpark. Now, Memorial Day is obviously not one of our major church holidays, but we need to remember. We need to remember the debt we owe to others. You and I do not have what we have today by our own efforts. There is no greater myth than that of a self-made man or woman. We owe an enormous debt from the moment we come into this world. Some of that debt is owed to young men and women who shed their blood on battlefields. Many of them gave their lives because they truly believed that freedom is worth dying for. To honor their sacrifice is not to glorify war in any way. War is the ultimate blasphemy against God. Still, we live in a cruel world where tyrants would impose their will on others. It would be nice if we lived in a world where people always played by the rules, where no one coveted his neighbor's property, where never again would we have to depend on military might to enforce justice. But such a world does not yet exist. We do not know what dangers yet await us. When the war between the states flared up, there was a young Texan enlisted and marched off to fight with his friends. "We won't be gone long," he claimed, "because we can lick them Yankees with broomsticks." 4 years later, when the fighting was finally over, this young man came home, a beaten man. One of his neighbors asked, "What happened? I thought you were going to beat them Yankees with broomsticks." "We could have," replied the young man, "except we couldn't get them to fight with broomsticks." It really would be a nicer world if we could totally eliminate our defense establishment with the knowledge that no nation would ever commit aggression against its neighbor again. But that's not the way the world is. Winston Churchill used to tell a parable about a zoo in which all the animals decided to disarm. They arranged peace talks to work out the details. The rhinoceros asked for a strict ban against the use of teeth in war. The stag and the porcupine agreed, but the lion and the tiger depended on teeth as they defended the teeth as being honorable weapons. The bear, however, wanted both teeth and horns to be banned, but suggested that all animals be allowed to give each other a good hug when they quarreled. This only served to offend all the other animals, and so they never could agree. What a sad parable. That's the kind of world we live in. And thus, through the centuries, young men and young women have been sacrificed in the cause of one noble ideal after another. Some of these wars have been senseless and barbaric, to be sure, but others have been necessary. We honor the memory this day of those who have given their lives believing that they were making the world a safer place, a freer place, a more humane place. Of course, there are others who have given their lives for us. people who never wore a uniform, never carried a gun. Our scripture lesson talks about those who wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Among these are those who have given their lives in the service of Jesus Christ. And there have been hundreds of thousands of such sacrifices through the ages. In the 16th century, there was a bloody purge of Christians in Scotland. Thousands of ministers and lay persons suffered for Christ's sake. Many were hanged or slaughtered in cold blood. Some of these believers endured the torture of burning at the stake or being beheaded. A man by the name of Patrick Hamilton was a young Scotsman, 24 years old when he was sentenced to die. As he was tied to the stake and the fire was burning at his feet, Hamilton was taunted by one of his persecutors to deny God. But Hamilton answered like the biblical Stephen, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." While we remember those who have died in battle, we also need to remember the committed followers of Jesus, like Patrick Hamilton. They died in battle too, the battle between light and darkness. They gave their all, and we dare not forget them. And there is one more we need to remember this day. It is the Christ, the Lamb Himself. The empty cross before you reminds us of the sacrificial love of Christ, through which we are given eternal life. And so we remember. We remember those who died that we may live in freedom. We remember those who have died that we may live in faith. And we remember the Christ who died that we may live forever. That's the ultimate meaning of this Memorial Day weekend. It's a time to remember and to give thanks. Amen.